Prayer is an important reality for us to practice in the face of resistance. Let us pray together. O Lord, now by the power of your Spirit, may your Holy Spirit be poured out upon us, that we would have strength that is from above, to face the challenges that you have placed before us in life, that we might live out the good news of Jesus Christ in this world, to say no to evil, and to say yes to the good life that you call us to. Now may you speak to us in the truth and grace of who you are, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Harvard Business Review article in June of 1990, John Cotter says what leaders really do. He contrasts management and leadership. He said management is about coping with complexity, and leadership is about coping with change. In the leadership classic, The Leadership Challenge by James Kutsitz and Barry Posner, they say that leadership is about transformation. Change requires leadership. Leadership is inextricably connected to the process of innovation. A leader has to raise to the point of seizing the initiative because leaders are called to make something new happen. Leaders challenge the status quo. And that leadership challenge is based upon a commitment to a greater purpose, a higher power, a deeper meaning, a loftier goal, and a healthy pattern of life. Moses was called by God to confront Pharaoh and to call for change. That famous line that has been repeated in centuries, "Let my people go," is about a call for change. A change from the leadership of Pharaoh to the leadership of God. A change of culture, a change of place, a change of people, and a change of leader. "Let my people go into the wilderness, even for a 3 days' journey," Moses said. Just a little bit of change. Pharaoh, you need to let go of control of the people that you oppress. "Release them," God said, "so I can embrace them." Pharaoh, you need to change. It is not just the change of Pharaoh, but the change of the Egyptian culture, a whole pattern of organizational leadership and style. The reason for the change is because God has called for it. That is the core of every leader's move to change. It's because God has called for it. God calls us to a universal purpose to change things for the better, no matter where we work and have our responsibilities, whether it be in family or business or government, military, the church, a club, the department, the office, the highway, the car, the airplane. We are called to practice a different pattern of life, to exercise the grace of God, that is, in goodness, love, and mercy, and to say no to the practices of evil that hurt people. There is resistance to change. Even parents, when they take baptismal vows and bring their children into the life of the church, are committed to a pattern of leading their children through change. To announce and pronounce faith in Jesus Christ, and to renounce evil and practices that will be hurtful in this world. The parent is committing himself and herself to be a model for a child of what it means to live well and not to do evil. To raise a child is to say no to behavior that hurts other human beings. To raise a child in positive ways is to live into the pattern of Jesus and the way Jesus lived. Simple things like we don't hit, we hug. We share, we don't grab control. We don't yell, we talk in kind words. We don't lie, we tell the truth. We are quiet in a sacred space. We don't sulk. Instead, we find something else good to do. Moses and Aaron are called by God to take the leadership initiative to say no to evil and yes to good. Pharaoh, what you are doing to Israel is not good. Listen to the higher power, Yahweh. Let his people go, even if it's only for a week holiday to worship out in the desert. Stop oppressing these people. Stop mistreating them and treating them like slaves and animals. Stop abusing them and reducing them to machines of work. Recognize their humanity, their hunger to know God, and understand that what you are doing to them is causing human misery. When I was in the sixth grade, there were two sixth grade classes, and there were two sixth grade teachers, Mrs. Burke and Mrs. Glenn. And every student knew which teacher they wanted to be in the class of. Mrs. Glenn was known as a person of grace and discipline. She kept order in her classroom, but she did it with a kind voice and a gentle spirit. However, Mrs. Burke was a person who was known as one of rage and anger. She used intimidation tactics to make sure things were done in her class well. There was no doubt on the school ground which teacher was beloved and which teacher was feared and hated. Even the parents began to complain about Mrs. Burke. And so over a period of time, there was a movement to resist her leadership on the school ground and embrace Mrs. Glenn. Fortunately for me, I was in Mrs. Glenn's sixth grade class and not in Mrs. Burke's sixth grade class. Eventually, the principal said no to Mrs. Burke and yes to Mrs. Glenn. The leadership responsibility of each one of us is to say no to behavior patterns that hurt other people. But there is resistance to this. After all, Pharaoh does not roll over and play dead. He says, "Who am I that I should listen to this God? I don't know this God. Why should I let those people go when they do a lot of work for me that is important to the success of this nation?" There's resistance to change at several levels in this text. There's the macro level of resistance organizationally from the top down. Pharaoh says, "No, I will not change. I will not let the people go." There's resistance at the junior management level with the slave drivers and the foreman. The slave drivers who beat the foremen, who are Israeli leaders, to make sure that they can continue to manipulate and collaborate with their own people to get the slave work done. And there's inner resistance on the part of Moses himself, who still has those haunting questions of, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I when I don't speak all that well? I could fail, and what if God cannot do what God says?" It is the resistance often at this middle level from little pharaohs that often cause the most pain. The people who have been abused by higher powers and take that abuse and turn it on their own and abuse others. The foremen in this case, those who were a part of Israel but were leading their own people in abusive ways. Elie Wiesel, in his book, the Nobel Prize-winning book, Night, tells about the illustration of the pipels in the German concentration camps. The little boys who had been abused by the leadership of Nazi Germany and the bosses of the camps, who often became the most abusive leaders in their own right. He tells about the story of a boy of 13 when he saw that his father was not making his bed properly, turned to his father in anger and said, as the old man wept, "If you don't stop crying instantly, I will no longer bring you bread. Understood?" Sometimes the resistance happens because people have been beat up in the middle of the system, and they turn and beat up others. In my time in Washington, D.C., I have experienced a number of people who've been beat up by the system and have learned to turn and beat up others along the way. They tend to become those who, because they have been abused, will abuse others. Resistance is a part of what happens when we are doing the wrong thing, and that wrong thing seems to settle into a pattern of life that causes some people to be very happy with the power that they have. Why do we resist positive change? Because we have a lot to lose if we're in power. We have power and authority and position. If this change happens, we will not have that same power, authority, and position. We don't want to give up control. We fear what we don't see. And we know this leader who's called Pharaoh, but we don't know this God and who God is, and we don't know if this God is able to produce in the way that God says he is. As bad as it is, it could be worse if we change. We like the status quo. It's working for us. Things could get worse, after all, if we start changing things. And guess what? That is the point of the text. When Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, things do get worse. It doesn't become easier for the people or for the slave drivers or for the foreman. It becomes tougher. Pharaoh says, make those people make bricks without straw. They're going to have to go find their own straw. Life will get tougher. Be harder on them. Beat them. Abuse them even more. Why do we resist change? Because if the change happens, we will lose something important to us. I was talking not long ago with an elder from another large Presbyterian church in this country, and they had just called a new pastor, and I was saying to this elder, I hear great things about your new pastor. No expression, no response. Quiet response then, I missed the last pastor. He was my only model for a good pastor. But I said, your new pastor is one of the best and the brightest we have in the denomination. Well, he said, I think we've made a mistake. I wish we could go back to the last one. Why do we resist change? Because the change will call for something within us to make us give up something of value that we want to hold on to, even if it's not the best thing. And what is the key to facing this resistance as a leader? What model do we see in Moses' life? The first pattern is that Moses continually goes back and engages God face to face. There's no way to be a leader and face ongoing resistance to do the right thing unless we spend a lot of time in the presence of God. For God is the center of who we are and who we are called to become. Talking with God, complaining to God, remembering the call, conversing and rehearsing the mantra of leadership, let my people go. Make the change happen, God. It's up to you to do it. A second aspect of this that is modeled by Moses and Pharaoh is persistence. In the face of resistance, commit yourself to persist. To repeat, to to be a broken record, to stand and be assertive in the face of resistance, and to not back down. Let my people go, they say, and Pharaoh says no. And they go back and say, now let us take a 3-day journey. And they come back over and over and over again as Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Why is the key to facing resistance about being in the presence of God? It's because only God can change things from worse to better. In the pattern of Moses and Pharaoh and others who resist evil in the face of change, you'll notice that there is no action on Moses or Aaron's part to engage in hurtful or vindictive behavior. They do not give into the temptation to do what evil does, to begin to abuse those who abuse them. They say no to that temptation. Instead, you will find over and over in the next few chapters that Moses prays for Pharaoh, even when Pharaoh resists. It is, in fact, this assertive, committed pattern of healthy behavior in the face of resistance that begins to change what happens. Edwin Friedman, in his book Reinventing Leadership, talks about the model of Abraham Lincoln, who understood, as we've heard from Dr. Ron White a number of times in this church, that Lincoln was committed to a pattern of understanding the very nature of God in biblical expression, so that when he led the United States of America to unity, he did so because it was in the pattern of the very nature of God. And Friedman says, Lincoln refused to be sabotaged because he was committed to a higher call. Example of Lincoln was willing to even use force to keep the Union together and to have the slaves emancipated even in the face of resistance. Leaders must face resistance and say no to divisiveness and assert the right thing. This is the undercurrent reason why people like Moses and Jesus and Gandhi and Martin Luther King have practiced assertive, nonviolent resistance. To say yes to the way of Jesus and say no to the temptation to do damage in the pattern of calling for good. I was talking to a nurse not too many weeks ago who had a supervisor who continually used abusive language and abusive tone toward those who worked for her. The nurses and the aides were in the department were worn down by this person who continually came at them with oppressive disposition. The nurse said, I'm tempted to become passive-aggressive to go around her and to undermine her. I'm tempted to become openly reactive and just tell her off. But somehow, in the grace of God, she heard the call of Jesus as to how to face resistance. And she said, what I'm called to do is to speak the truth in love, to say no to the pattern that's causing damage, and yes, you can do it differently if you desire. And over a period of time of a broken record approach to assertive challenge, the supervisor decided she was no longer fit to lead the department. I had a secretary work for me one time, an office manager in the whole system of the church, who consistently abused her with bad language and bad temper. She came to me one day and she said, I will not take this anymore. I want to say no. This is not acceptable. She resisted the abuse and she asked me to stand with her in that. Finally, the supervisor got the message and decided that it was time for him to retire because he had given over to anger and darkness in his own soul and hurt too many people because he abused his role. Jesus himself faced resistance. Jesus faced the scribes, the chief priests, and the Pharisees, and he refused to be moved by their negative pattern of life. In Matthew 23, we see Jesus willing to confront them and say the truth to them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You shut the kingdom of heaven out in people's faces. You are disciples of hell. You are blind guides. You have people swear by things rather than swear by their own integrity. You are hypocrites. You look clean on the outside, but you are evil on the inside. Jesus resisted the resistance of the Pharisees. Yes, I understand that not all change is good. But change that is called for in the very nature of God to make this world a better place, to make your family a better place to live. Change that is measured by the very stature of Jesus himself is the kind of change that we are called to implement as leaders in the faith. Jesus himself said, become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Become complete and mature. Be changed and transformed by the pattern of who God is. Don't stay in the status quo. And Paul took up the same pattern by saying, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is good, acceptable, and right, perfect, and complete. Paul also said in Ephesians, we must no longer be children tossed around by every fad of doctrine, by people's trickery and by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Jesus Christ. And in Romans 12, Paul summarizes all of this by saying we need to resist those who would do evil by doing good. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves. Keep your spiritual fervor and purpose and serve the Lord and not others. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful to prayer. Share with God's people in need who are oppressed and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Be willing to associate with people of less position. And don't be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, then give him something to drink. How do we resist evil? How do we resist the patterns that are doing damage in this world? By continuing to practice the healthy patterns of Jesus Christ, the very nature of God in this world. Now I end this with just one simple question for myself and for you. Are you resisting the change that Christ would like to bring into your life, to your style of leadership, to your presence and pattern in organizations and your family? Or are you holding back? Are you unwilling to let go? Have you kept yourself locked up and enslaved in your own view of reality? Are you willing to be transformed? Or are you more like Pharaoh than Moses? Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, may you transform us by the renewing of your power. The word that you speak to us in Scripture, the presence of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you move us to become people who initiate positive change in the pattern of Moses and Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.